Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. And this week, we're going to be talking about kitchen counters. We're just going to focus on the kitchen counter this week. For some of you, you might say, well, I guess I'm already done because I like how my kitchen counter is. And for others of you, you might say this could be the biggest week of the entire series for me. And I understand there are a lot of different kitchen counters out there, situations. Maybe you say, I don't even have a kitchen counter. My entire kitchen counter is a 2x4 area, and it's just my kitchen is so tiny. So I understand that, but I want you to really think about, in general, we're going to talk about the flat surfaces in your house, how you use your kitchen, and specifically kitchen counters. So I have a friend a couple of years ago on Facebook. She put up a post and she said, in my next house, I'm going to have no flat surfaces and I'm going to paint the walls in the bathrooms the colors of toothpaste. And I just laughed because those are two huge problems for moms. Having toothpaste in bathrooms is just annoying, and the kitchen counter never seems to be empty. As a matter of fact, any horizontal surface in your house never seems to be empty. They all attract different piles of things to do, different knickknacks, things that we collect. And so horizontal spaces in your house are called hot spots. And I learned that from Flylady.net. Over a decade ago, I read her site and I loved everything she had to say about really working on my day-to-day maintenance of my house. Getting control of my day-to-day routine was great. Flylady was exceptional at that. And one of the things she taught us to do was to clear our hot spots, to get that area cleared off and then maintain that cleared space. Now, I will tell you today that my kitchen counter is the way I like to see it at least once a week, and I strive for every day, but I do not hit that. So just so you know, my kitchen counter doesn't look great every day. This week, 3 out of 7 days, I was able to walk into my kitchen and go, oh, that's exactly how I want my kitchen counter to look. But that is very, very rare because we live very busy, very productive lives, right? And a lot of that ends up on our kitchen counter. Now, some of the things that are already on your kitchen counter are usually papers. And hopefully, you've already started using the Sunday basket. You've got a one clip for each of your kids on your refrigerator. You have a place to put bills so you know where your bill pay is. Until you have a Sunday basket or a system for all of the paper that comes into your house, there is going to be paper on your kitchen counter. Because no matter how hard we try, and I have tried, that touch it once and do something with paper never works for me because so much of the paper that I have either has to be returned to school or I have to pay the bill or I have to put that information on my calendar. And to do all of those things every day when I collect the mail and the kids come home from school is just not realistic for me. So I need a holding place so that I can focus on all of those activities once a week, which is the Sunday basket for me. So we're not going to talk any more about paper today. Now I want to look at everything else on your kitchen counter. And a couple of different organizers over the years have told me to take every single thing off of your kitchen counter, put it in the dining room or another room, and then just put things back on your kitchen counter as you need and use them. And I really resisted that. Like, I didn't want to do that. I don't know what it was about. I didn't want my stuff in the dining room, or maybe I just didn't want to have to come to terms with the fact that I really wasn't using everything that I had on the kitchen counter every single day, and I didn't want to have to put those things away or not have those things in the kitchen. I don't know, but I'm just letting you know that I had resistance to doing this, but I'm going to tell you to do it. I want you to take every single thing off of your kitchen counter, the butter, the fruit. If you have a TV, you can leave the TV, the coffee maker, the toaster, everything you're charging there, the paper, the stuff you just brought in from the store when you went shopping, everything off of the counter. Now, once you have everything off of the counter, number one, you're going to be able to see how much counter space you really do have. Even in a small kitchen, When nothing is on the counters, you have more counter space than when there are things on the counters, right? I am very, very lucky. I have an awesome kitchen. I knew when we bought this house that it was a great kitchen, and then about 6 years ago, we updated the kitchen. We left the layout exactly the same, but I took out our pantry and our planning desk and created a 9-foot long counter along the side of our kitchen. But the island that you see in our kitchen, we already had, and it's like 4 or 5 feet wide, and it's 7 or 8 feet long. It's amazing. I have done so many things on that counter in the kitchen. I know I'm very, very blessed to have that. But I also know that there have been times in my life where that has been covered with clutter, and I'll come home from the grocery store and not be able to put groceries on that counter. So keeping any space clear, whether it's small or big, is a day-to-day maintenance event. Now, once everything is off your counter, then as you use things, you can put them back on your counter. But don't just put them there and say, okay, I used it this week, so I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to give you an example. I love coffee. Once I turned 40, I don't know, all of a sudden I need coffee. I can't handle Coke anymore. I need more caffeine. I need coffee. I drink a coffee every single morning first thing. And about 3 to 5 times a week, I also have a coffee somewhere between 2 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Some weeks it's 5 times a week, and some weeks I don't have a second coffee at all. But I always have that morning coffee, and then often I have that second coffee. So I use my coffee maker every single day of the week. So my coffee maker will stay on my kitchen counter, and I leave my sugar right there on the counter by the coffee maker. Now, the toaster is something that I used to leave on the counter all of the time also, but we do not use the toaster every single day. Even on a good week, the most I will use a toaster is 5 days a week, which would be every single morning that the kids go to school to make my son his bagels. However, he just informed me yesterday he's done with bagels. He's one of those kids that goes through a phase where he will have bagels every single day for 90 days, and all of a sudden he won't eat a bagel again for 2 years. So apparently, we're done with bagels now, and I need to come up with another breakfast idea for him. But my husband will not let me leave any appliances on the kitchen counter plugged in, so I have to unplug the toaster every time I use it, whether I put it away or not. However, to keep us out of divorce court, wink wink, we leave the coffee maker plugged in all the time. I said it's worth whatever risk or worry that he has, so that when I push that on button, that the button is actually working and I'm going to get my caffeine. That's where I draw the line. So the coffee maker stays plugged in, but the toaster is always unplugged. And once he started making me unplug the toaster, I realized it was only 30 seconds more to open the cabinet door and put the toaster away in the cabinet and not have it on the kitchen counter. Now, for a long time, I resisted that, and I thought, well, I'm just going to get it out again, so I'm going to save that 30 seconds. But what really happens is I don't need it for the next 5 days. Now I've been staring at a toaster for 5 days that we didn't need on my kitchen counter. And so for me, I've decided to put that away. And I want you to think through that process with every single thing that goes back on your kitchen counter. Yes, you're putting it on your kitchen counter because you're using it, but are you going to use it every single day? And do you like the way it looks on your kitchen counter? And does it really need to be there, or can it be in a drawer? One more example is I used to have a crock of different utensils that I would use on our kitchen counter. You know I love Longaberger, and I had this Longaberger crock. And so I had different things in there like spatulas and wooden spoons and flippers in my little crock. And it was the 90s. It was really popular to have those out. But when I was really taking a look in the early 2000s at my kitchen counters, I thought, you know, those are on the kitchen counter. I do use them every day, but I do have space in my drawers to keep them in my drawers. They don't have to be on my kitchen counter. So what I ended up doing was putting those items in a drawer and not using the crock there. I used it somewhere else in the house. Or I think what I ended up doing was not using it at all, because I liked the idea better of not having things on my kitchen counter than being able to see that crock. Either way, I was going to have the utensils that I needed to use every single day within reach. It was just a matter of, did I want it on the counter or did I want it on in the drawer? Also, at the same time, I had a cute little spice spinner that had the little jars that you put the spices in on the counter as well. It was a wedding gift. And that had been on our kitchen counter. And as we all know, I don't cook. So the fact that I had a spice spinner on my counter was hysterical because I wasn't even using the spices. And it was taking up, it was pretty, but it didn't need to be on my kitchen counter. It was at that time that I went and bought the spice carousels that stack and went in that tiny useless cupboard to the left of my microwave. And I was able to put all those spices alphabetically in the cabinet and have them whenever I needed them, but not have them on my kitchen counter. I use those spices maybe once a month, maybe when I'm baking. My husband does use spices much more often, but his spices are in our new spice cabinet, so they probably all need to be updated anyway. And on the podcast, either the next episode or in two episodes, I'm going to talk to you about my food story, why I have such a hang-up about cooking, and what I'm going to do about it in 2015. So spices are going to be back in my life, which will be nice. So what are those things that are on the kitchen counter? Are they there because they were a gift? Are they there because you liked them one time? Are they there because you use them every day? Are they there because you don't have space in the drawers and know what to do about that? So while everything is off your kitchen counter, I want you to really scrub it down. When I had a Formica counter, I scrubbed it down with soft scrub, and now that I have a Corian one, I still do as well. I'm not recommending how to clean your kitchen counter. I'm just saying, really scrub it down. Get it really, really clean. Use hot water. Get it as clean as it's ever been before you put stuff back on your counter. It just feels so great to have a really, really clean kitchen counter. And then slowly put things back on as you need them. Now, I have an ulterior motive because the next 3 to 4 weeks, we are going to be organizing the kitchen from top to bottom. We're going to spend a whole week on cabinets and a whole week on drawers and a whole week on spices and recipes. So you don't have to get your whole kitchen done in 1 week. That's an unrealistic expectation. All I want you to focus on this week are your kitchen counters. And if your kitchen counters are awesome and you breeze through this and you need something else to do, then go start walking around your house and looking at everything else that is a horizontal surface, like the top of the fireplace and your mantle and the top of your dresser and the top of your kids' dressers and all of those areas where things tend to collect. And look at those things. Do you still love them? Do you still want them? Do you still need them? And do they still need to be on display in your house? So get that kitchen counter cleared off, get it clean, and then leave a comment on the blog and tell me, what did you decide to take off of your kitchen counter? I'll see you next week. I hope you got some good nuggets of information on how to get organized in today's podcast. Come on over to organize365.com to check out all the resources and links in today's show.